Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen.
Quick word about the children being present in worship, and Anita's wonderful word to us about they learn and by what they see. My children are close together. They're only about 13 months apart. We were better at theology than biology in my house. And when Allie was 4 and Joey was 3, my wife called the church office one day and was laughing so loud and so long I could barely understand what she was trying to tell me. But she was running the vacuum cleaner, and as she's vacuuming, daughter Allie came up, tugged on her. Melissa turns the vacuum off, looks at Allie and said, "Yes." And Allie said, "Who's coming?" And Melissa's just going crazy. She said, "Man, we got to be careful. They're on to us." And I'm sure she'd never seen us run the vacuum cleaner without company arriving. What a wonderful and beautiful word to us, and what an opportunity for us to really model the faith and to lead those who are young into a life of good and God. Thank you all on behalf of your Methodist Home for Children. We serve about 1,400 children, youth, and their families in a year. Another way to do the math with intake and discharge from our service array, on any given day, you've got about 450 who are in your care. Some of this work begins really at infancy, and it extends well into adulthood. We are best known, and one of the things we'll talk about here is treating those who are in prison. We're best known by the state because we're the largest provider for therapeutic alternatives for juvenile offenders to incarceration. And the importance of that work really can't be overstated. The number one indicator that somebody's going to be in an adult prison is that they've been in a youth prison. And so we're always trying to interrupt that cycle and do that work. We do a lot of work in-home. I'll talk in a minute a little bit about foster care. Since we are Trinitarian Christians, I'm always asking for three things. First thing we need is for you to pray for us. The needs of the children are indeed profound. The demands that are made not only on the group home workers, but upon foster parents and other clinical staff are really significant. And without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't be sustained. Second thing we need for you is to be a witness. And the work that we do is behind closed doors. And it's not just simply HIPAA regulations, but really decency and propriety. I'm going to challenge you to go to our website, which is mhfc.org, the agency's initials, Methodist Home for Children. And there you'll be able to see some vignettes and read some stories and begin to get an understanding. So when somebody asks you, "What did you do this weekend?" don't just say, "I found relief from the heat with a snow cone," although that's a laudable thing. Say a word and tell folks about the exciting way that the gospel is being lived out at Methodist Home for Children. And the final thing is that we do need your financial support. There's a funding gap between the fees for service that we get paid and able to draw from the state and the true cost of care. And thank you for the work that you already have done and for that which you yet will do. Our scripture lesson this day is from the 13th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews is really well known, perhaps, because it has the Faith Hall of Fame, and that is one of the components of it. It also has High Priest Christology, which is found really in Hebrews and nowhere else in the New Testament, and that is a description of Jesus that, of course, resonated with Orthodox Jews, and Melchizedek is remembered. And then the writer of Hebrews, as the book is winding down, moves from this high-level thought and theology to really bringing it home. And how do we make this real, and what are some practical steps we can take? And here in the first three verses of chapter 13, "Let your mutual love be constant. Do not neglect to practice hospitality, because in so doing, some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as if it were you who are in prison, and remember those who are being tortured as if it were you who were in their place." And this is the word of God, and we together, the people of God, so we say, thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but when I hear "let your mutual love be constant," I feel like I'm already in a little bit of trouble. I'm okay on February 14th because I remember it's Valentine's Day. And so I'm supposed to get the card. I'm supposed to get some kind of sweets and some kind of treat and make sure that I acknowledge that. But this idea that your love has to be constant and that your affection has to be unrelenting is really a rather high bar and a rather high standard, but that truly is the mark of a Christian. Since I have been at Methodist Home for Children, one of the things that I have come to appreciate is the fact that I am surrounded by great people of faith, and foster parents have become my heroes, because these are people who have not only opened their hearts to the children who are not their own biologically, but these are people who have opened their homes. And that really is a constant and unrelenting love, and it is the much described, rarely seen, 24/7 type of job. May is Foster Parent Appreciation Month. It's too small to only have it a celebration for a month long, but it is a thing, and so we always acknowledge it. And one year at one of our foster parent appreciation banquets, the reality of the effort that is put in to loving these foster children was really made manifest. And our foster parent appreciation banquet was going about like you'd think. Methodist Home for Children foster care staff are standing there, and they're trying to thank people. And we've got the Stewarts, and we want to thank the Stewarts, because the Stewarts have had 15 foster children. You know, round of applause for the Stewarts. They're just great. And we want to thank the Taylors, because the Taylors have been doing foster care for 20 years, and everybody's excited about that. And so we celebrate and clap just like that. And occasionally, there'd be a back at you. One of the foster families would say, well, don't give us thanks. I want to give thanks to Methodist Home for Children and to my foster care specialist. And even when I call at 2 a.m., they're answering the phone or coming to see us and help out. And that's all beautiful stuff. And we're getting ready to wind down and get out of the room, I'm thinking, when all of a sudden, one of the foster parents stands. And it's an African-American man who's in his late 60s, early 70s. And he says, if y'all don't mind, I want to offer some thanks of my own. And then he puts his hand on the shoulder of the young man who's seated next to him. And he says, I want to thank our son. And he said, because my wife and I had raised our five children, and they were out of the house and gone. And we were going to Bible study and praying, and we were praying to God. And he said, the thing that occurred to us was our house didn't really feel like a home, because there weren't any children in it. And so we decided to become foster parents because we wanted to have children back in our home. And we knew we had those empty rooms and a place in our house for others. And he said, and then he looks at his foster son and says, now, son, I'm going to be real. And he said, I didn't realize how completely Jesus was going to answer our prayer. Because he said, we were praying that we would be able to have a child come into our home. And this young man in early adolescence, by the time he came to them, had been so brutalized by his father that he was terrified. And the first week or so that he was in this house, he literally would not leave his room. And when it came time to go to the bathroom, he's putting his head out the door and looking to make sure there's nobody there as he runs down the hall to the bathroom. They were feeding him and giving him his meals in his room. Gradually, he got comfortable enough to come out into the kitchen, and then gradually he got comfortable enough to get out in the yard. And the father says that it wasn't easy at first getting him to move. He said, but I'm so proud of him and what he has accomplished. And he said, I want to thank you, son, for bringing the light of Christ back into our house. And, of course, we're all a little bit teary-eyed at that point. And then he sits down, and then all of a sudden the foster child stands up. And it looks like somebody has been given opiate steroids. Big mop of red hair. This kid probably stood 6'2" and had a good 275, maybe even bumping on 300 pounds. And he said, well, I want to say thanks. I want to say thanks to you, Mom and Dad. And he said, I love you both. He said, but if we're keeping it real, I didn't like you at all when I first came to your house. He said, for one of the things is you maybe go to football practice. And he said, I didn't want to play any sports. I just wanted to stay home and be lazy. He said, and after you took me to football the first day, I knew I wasn't going to go back. And you made me go back the second day and the third day. And he said, I can't believe it, but I've gotten a varsity letter 2 years in a row. And it's been a great and beautiful thing. And he said, I also didn't like it when you wouldn't let me lie to you, because you'd sit there at the kitchen table and ask me, son, let's see your homework. And I'd say, I don't have any today. And you'd just wrap your knuckles on the table, say, get them lessons out, boy. Let me take a look. Let's take a look at your work. And he said, but for the first time in my life, I've gotten A's in school, and I've been on the honor roll. And then the boy did something he didn't need to do. He disclosed his treatment plan. He said, I've got one more year left in high school, and one of my relatives has agreed that they'll take me for my final year. He said, I understand why it's important for me to have a positive experience with a biological relative and to try to regain and establish my place, he said, in my family of origin. But he said, I know it might look a little bit funny when we take our family photo, but Mom and Dad, I know who my real parents are. And at that point, of course, there's not a dry eye left in the house, and we're all crying and weeping. And what we were watching was really the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ flowing through that room and really being channeled through the love of these parents and the love of this child. And what a great and wonderful thing it is. And it is a command and it is a calling upon all of our lives that we have to let our mutual love be constant. And the next statement in Hebrews is, of course, a historical reference. And it refers back to Abram and Sarah when it says, you may be entertaining angels unawares. And if you don't remember that story, it's when the angel comes in order to announce the birth of the child. And they can scarce believe it's true. But we really are surrounded by angels at our Methodist Home for Children. My very first year, we were having a luncheon, and it's for a scholarship program. One of the things I didn't know when I came to Methodist Home for Children is we've got a lifetime commitment to put anybody who's been in foster care, anybody who's been adopted, or anybody in one of our group homes through 4 years of college. And if you keep a B average, we will pay for your master's degree as well. And you don't have to use 4 years of college if you want to go learn HVAC work, if you want to go learn internet security and get some kind of certification. You can be part of that program as well. And so each summer we get the current participants, those who are entering the program, and some recent grads to come and a fellowship and to share. And so this is a great learning experience for me. And I get my barbecue and sit down at the table and look at a young woman seated across from me and look at her name tag. And lo and behold, her name is Angel. And so we're entertaining an angel, not unawares in this case. I was aware she was an angel because it said so right there on her name tag. But I said the most general thing, just tell me a little bit about yourself. And it was like flipping a switch because almost immediately the emotion began to flow. She said, I don't mind telling you, when I came to Methodist Home for Children, I thought it was the worst day of my life. And then she pointed across the table, put her hand right over top of my hush puppies. And she said, and I hated you. And then she backed off of that a little bit and she said, well, not you. You weren't working here then. And she was court involved and had a number of felony convictions. And she came to stay in one of our therapeutic residential programs, a multi-purpose home, which was down in Lumberton. And she said, because when I came, I couldn't tell the difference between you and anybody else from social services. And she said, all I'd been told my entire life was that I was no good, that I was stupid and couldn't learn, and I would never amount to anything. And then she paused and she said, and I don't know how you all were able to do it, but you all could see something in me that no one else could. And I said, well, tell me. What did we see in you? She said, I still remember the first time, she said, the teacher put a math book in front of me. And we have certified teachers in each one of our group homes. And she said, I took a look at the book and said to the teacher, what's that? And she said, it's algebra. Angel said, I pushed the book back across the table at her and said, but you have to be smart to do algebra. Teacher pushed the book back toward her again, kind of a reverse tug of war. And she said, no, Angel, actually, you have to be very smart in order to do algebra. So open that book and let me show you how to get started. And then Angel started getting teary and crying herself. And Angel said, I'm going to college. No one would ever believe this. I would never have believed it. And then she said, and maybe I am smart because I am going to college. And Angel did, and she graduated with a 2-year degree and became a dental hygienist and is doing wonderfully well and living in Texas now. But this is really our work of Methodist Home for Children. It's the work here at Holly Springs United Methodist Church, is to let mutual love be constant and to entertain all who come into our midst, because indeed they may be angels unawares. And when we're dealing with these young people who are court involved, it's important for us to remember that these aren't, for the most part, bad kids. For the most part, they're mad kids. And acting out and exhibiting egregious behaviors because they've got some sense that their life is not as it should be, and those know that others have a path. And so it is our opportunity to get them back on the path for good and for God, and to lead them into lives that are healthy and whole. and for the privilege of being part of this mission and ministry with you and for you, and for being able to live literally into this word from Scripture here in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. I stand here today and say simply thank you and amen.